Saku Maku, everybody. It's a fine, beautiful Tuesday afternoon in the city of Lagos. You know, sometimes you get caught up and wonder what day it is, especially when the days roll in one after the other. But it is a great day for us to be alive and kicking. And we are going to hit you on Hard Facts with the big stories. You know the way we begin with the big three? Tell the three stories. We're going to be looking at stories that have been developing in the last 24 hours. And some are happening just as we speak. From the big three, we'll have a community report with Chukwudi Ezeugu. We're staying with the satellite town situation, satellite town of the Lagos Badagry Expressway is a community which is facing many issues, just like many other communities around the Axis is facing. But we've been with them for a while, and we stay with many of the issues around there. The LCD, Oriade LCD, and their mode of a local government areas that are very close to that part of Lagos State, and we're looking at some developmental issues there. And then at the top of the hour, we're going to stay with aviation safety. The last 24 hours, we've had stories with the aviation sector. So the coronavirus protocol is one. And then the other is vehicles who park at the front of the airport no longer being allowed to park there. How that improves the situation with safety at the airports is something we'll talk about with FAN, the Federal Airports Authority of Nigeria, at five. So that's something for us to look at. Always remember that you can join the conversation on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM, at Agogo Obo, at what other ads are there for you to join? Hashtag Nigeria Info HF, and then you can also talk with us on WhatsApp 0809-597-5805. That's the number to connect with us on WhatsApp. And so, if you're ready, then we are ready. So let's go.
The Big Three on Hard Facts
on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
All right, welcome back. And it's been a season of strikes, right? One's over, but there's still at least two. We're counting down to the end of those strike actions. The most difficult one, I think the Polytechnic strike is the easier one to deal with. The Judiciary Staff Union of Nigeria appears to be the most complex in dealing with. And it's been 1 week since the Judiciary Staff Union of Nigeria embarked on a nationwide strike. And the consequences, the toll continues to mount in terms of what it means for the country's judicial system. Already we're hearing of overcrowded cells. The police has been complaining all across the country, saying that it is battling with overcrowding at its detention facilities. And that's because you have at least from the Nigeria Correctional Service over 64,000 and 65,000 inmates. 47,000 of those people in the correctional facilities are awaiting trial. And so those numbers definitely abound to mount. You know that suspects should not spend more than 48 hours in custody, but now they're being detained indefinitely. The police have tried to find a way out of this one, and now Frank Mbahu is the first public relation officer, is quoted to have said that the acting Inspector General of Police, Usman Baba, has ordered commissioners of police to ensure that, in quote, unnecessary arrests are avoided. I don't know what they mean by unnecessary arrest, but it means that probably they try and arbitrate rather than take people into custody. I don't know how effective this will be, but that's just one of the areas suffering from the continuous strike of the Judicial Staff Union of Nigeria. We're going to try and get in touch with Kehinde Shobowale. Kehinde Shobowale is the chairman Judiciary Staff Union of Nigeria, and he just would update us briefly and tell us what is happening. It's a, I don't know whether to say it's a win, lose or lose win situation, but definitely all of the processes around the courtrooms are going through, even from the little things that happen within the, you know, the court environment, things like renovation going on in a number of courtrooms in the country. Those guys who are carrying out those renovations cannot go into those places because the courtrooms have been shut. People trying to get things, for example, like affidavit and letters of administration, all of that's been suspended, stalled. Nothing can happen. People who sell in restaurateurs and the rest of them who are doing small, you know, by-the-side business within the courtrooms have also suffered greatly during this period. But worse still are the ones who have court cases and trials have been suspended because the Judiciary Staff Union of Nigeria is insisting that its autonomy is guaranteed. So that's just one big discussion we're having. We promised during the week that we'll keep our eyes on this one because it is a landmark. If it goes in favor, the governors decide to stare reason in the face and make that move. So that's something we're looking at today. And while we try and connect with Kehinde Shobowale, who I spoke with briefly, and he said they have a very important meeting coming up on Thursday, maybe to, you know, evaluate what has happened so far in knowing whether we're sooner rather than farther away from the closure, from a deal being reached between the Judicial Staff Union of Nigeria and the state governments where the disagreements have happened. Meanwhile, the Minister of Justice and Attorney General of the Federation, Abubakar Malami, has assured Nigerians that the strike will soon be called off. Malami is quoted having at saying while in Sokoto, where he was inaugurating a state high court, the federal government has set up a committee with Governor Aminu Tambuwal of Sokoto State as a member to help resolve the crisis. So we'll find out whether the Tambuwal committee will be able to arrive at some sort of resolution. And so it's a big story on the Big Three. So during the course of the Big Three, we will get Kehinde Shobowale, and hopefully he can help us find out just what exactly we need to know and hope that things are getting better. Yesterday I saw the leader of the Muslim faithful in Nigeria and the Sultan of Sokoto, Saad Abubakar, the Sultan, talk about the sighting of the moon, which has commenced the Ramadan, which is the most holy month for Muslims across the country. So we join millions of Muslims across the country, which is our second story today in the Ramadan, which means that adult Muslims are beginning on a fast from dawn till dusk. And this period of the Muslim faithful in the country includes acts, for example, like refraining from alcohol, or eating excessive eating also too from dawn till dusk, immoral acts, anger. Other acts include praying and giving and reading its holy book, the Quran. But then also we're focusing, the newsroom, Nigeria Info Newsroom here, is focusing on traders and owners of bars and restaurants and markets, usually directly affected on the cost of food items. So, Nigeria Info's correspondent, Hope Uzo, has been to the Babs Anima Shaun market in Suleri. And it'd be great to hear what she had to say when she went to the market. And let's hear. Great to have you on Hard Facts, Hope.
Thank you very much.
Excellent. And you made the market tour today.
Yes, I did. And the market was quite slow, as I observed. And normally, like they expressed, they said that prior to the Ramadan, the market used to be overcrowded with lots of activities, people rushing to get items. But this time it was quite slow. And then things get expensive. It's difficult to get things at the normal rate. So they get things at a very high rate. And then, aside that, they also added that some of their perishable goods spoil during the process of having people, of waiting for customers to come and patronize them. So this Ramadan affects their sales. It affects their sales. It affects a lot of things. And but then there's nothing they can do about it.
So you got to the market, there was plenty of activity, or it was a slow day?
It was slow. It was slow. And some of them even said that one of the traders said she closes by 5 p.m. And normally you can get to the market and see a lot of people, even as at 7 p.m., they will still be buying and selling happening.
And then there's also something about the cost of food items in the market, right?
Yes.
Usually this period, you find out that the price seems to go south rather than... it should go north. It goes north, which is higher than south, right? So they did give the reason why you have the increase of food items, for example, happening during the Ramadan.
Not particularly.
But you've been to the Babs and the Mashallah market before.
Yes,
now.
I have.
What has been your experience before Ramadan, and if you get there during Ramadan, how do you compare and contrast?
Well, the prices of things get hiked, so the things you with additional prices of 1,000 difference, sometimes 200, depending on the item you're getting. That's just what I can say.
All right, so. But then it's a popular market majorly for the perishable items that people would go to from time to time, isn't it?
Sure, yes. Okay. Perishable items and like some of the Muslims get to stock their houses before the Ramadan. Sometimes prior to the Ramadan, they hurry and get these items. But when you get to the markets, the malams are mostly affected. Like one of the traders explained that his fruits get to spoil. And then he added that sometimes these Muslims cannot, not Muslims, but many people cannot afford to buy things. So when they can't buy things, his items get spoiled. There's nothing they can really do about it. So he's saying that the market works in season. So there are times where you have a lot of people rushing, and there are times where you have people, you have to wait for people to come around, and you don't have you don't make much sales.
All right. So in case you just joined in, it's the Ramadan, which is the holy month for Muslims across the country. And I hope Uzo from the newsroom has been to the Babs and the Mashallah market, which she does frequent even before this time. So she most likely has an idea of how the market looks before and during and after Ramadan. So let's listen to one of the traders you spoke with, and you can tell us some more about this.
During Ramadan, market is not moving because of the fasting. And in the morning, it will go small. In the afternoon, no market. In the evening, market will be moving small. No market at all. After 5, everybody will be going home packing because of the Ramadan. Things are very, very expensive. Everything, yam, plantain, everything that I'm selling is very costly.
All right, everything is very costly. It's a good thing for the traders or not? Is that did they admit, well, because we have higher prices, it's good for us?
No, it's not good for them, I'll say that.
Go ahead.
I would say it's not good for them. It's not good for them, apparently, from what this person just said. She said her items get spoiled. She sells sweet potatoes and yams. Sometimes it gets spoiled waiting for customers to come and buy things. So it's not really good for them, that I would say.
And if you have that high, because of the economic situation in town, it's very unlikely people would buy at higher prices. And so what happens? You also spoke, you talked about people buying, selling perishable items, and then a number of people who cannot afford it. They need the fruit because during the Ramadan, when the Muslims who are observing the fast have to break, they're going to have to buy they'll have to break on fruit.
Yes.
Right. So it's a difficult thing because they don't have the storage. Did you find any of them who said they have storage for their fruit? So they would have to keep the fruits and then bring it because they have good storage.
I'm sure they have good storage because they've been in this business for quite some time. So they would have good storage. It's just that they cannot prevent some of them from spoiling.
Right.
So since many don't patronize them, some of these items will get to spoil.
Mm.
But for those that cannot afford and cannot buy in larger quantities, I'm sure they will go there every day to buy fruit. So instead, they buy in smaller quantities and share amongst their families.
Right. Yeah. Which is the spirit of the season.
Giving.
A lot of giving, you know, during this period. They do the zakat, which is a part of the Muslim tenants, which is giving, which is a huge part. So let's hear the trade, the one who sells fruit that Uzo spoke with, and then.
Ramadan is not affect anybody. Now our business don't continue. Tomato, yam, continue. It will go up. It not go spoil. Yes.
As a market in a season, anytime we market, see get season, you go the cheap. That way you don't go, you go cost. That's the market. Market where the money? Where market the move? You know, say when person get money, now you go buy market. If you get, you no get. If you get, you go come buy plenty. You no get, you go buy what? The spoil well, because no money where you go buy. You go spoil well.
Yeah, no money for people to buy, otherwise it goes spoil. But thank you very much, Hope Uzo. You still got one more interview, I understand. You're still going to speak with someone on this one?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and who's that?
A cleric.
Ah, okay.
Yes.
All right. So we look forward to hearing more from Hope Uzo, who is on the beat for the next 40 days, I can imagine, right?
Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. All right, and so that's the second story, and we'd love to hear from you. First, the story that has to do with the Judiciary Staff Union and how it's affecting you. We still cannot get in touch with the Jusun chairman for Lagos State Chapter. I did speak with him, and he told me, look, I've got a very, very tight schedule, and let's see how it goes. But nothing has happened yet. They haven't called off the strike. So anything major happens, we'll break it out to you. And then the Ramadan is up. The moon has been sighted. And for 40 days, the fast will be observed. And it's interesting. We went to the market to see the impact. And from what we've seen, the prices will go up. But there's the fear that if it does go up, they may not be able to sell, and you're going to have many of those perishable items wasted. 0700-993-993-993. Call us and tell us what you have to say about the story. We've got a very fascinating third story. We'll get to that after the break, but I want to hear from you first and foremost. 0700-993-993-993. Again, 0700-993-993-993. You can talk to us on WhatsApp. It's 0809-597-5805. Again, 0809-597-5805. 0809-597-5805 is the number on WhatsApp that you can connect with us. And also on Twitter. Every time I have to do the jump from one mic to the other. Heaven help those who don't have a white span like me. I wonder how Sandra has to do this. She'd do like this before she can get to both sides of the mic. But, you know, all the life we could have played basketball and be able to use both mics at the same time and then control at the console. So let me get to the phone lines and test what you have to say. Hello and good afternoon. Sorry about that. Do call back. Hello and good afternoon.
Hello.
Okay, kindly move away from the device you're listening so we don't get the reverb. Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, so, well done, sir.
How are you, sir? What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Raymond. I'm calling you from Yanaira.
Yanaira?
Yes.
Where's Yanaira at?
Yanaira is along Agbara Expressway.
Ah, that's after on your way to Cotonou, let me just say it, sir.
Yes, on your way to Cotonou, your area.
Our area, eh?
Yeah.
All right, I'll back that Yanaira, one of the places to visit.
After Okokomaiko.
After Okokomaiko, where a lot of Naira has been distributed, right?
Yes.
All right, talk with us.
Yes, I want to contribute on the, what do you call, the food item.
Good.
Honestly, my wife wanted to buy some things yesterday. In fact, she come back home.
Hmm. Came back with anything or nothing?
Nothing. She did buy. She said everything is expensive in the market.
Oh dear.
As a, she couldn't buy one single thing. Like ordinary tomato. Ordinary tomato.
Hmm.
Mm. That is how it is in our NGO.
Hmm. No. Now, wow. Mm. I hope she can get to the market tomorrow and things will improve.
I think she will go to Yanoba maybe tomorrow or next. Something like that.
All right. Thank you very much. And,
okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. All right. Keep the calls coming. And by the way, I did see a clergy going to the market in Kaduna State, appealing to the traders not to hike the price of food items during this period. I don't know if that will work, but I think it does make sense to have the price is affordable so people can buy and not starve. Or, you know, like our last caller, went to the market and came back with nothing. I can squeeze in a call in 30 seconds and let's hear who you are and what you can do. No, not going through. Let's try this one. Hello and good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
Great. What's your name, please, and where are you calling from?
Benjamin Chidebere, calling from Turela.
All right, Benjamin, let's do this in 30 seconds.
Okay, I just want to comment on the food prices.
Oh, go ahead,
in the market. Mm. I don't know why anytime there is any festival or something or something in Nigeria, all the price of the things will be rocketed to the highest 200%. My question is this. What of the stock they have before the festival period? They are trying to make over again. That's what is killing us here.
Right.
In Nigeria, yes. So let the people that are sitting try to adjust on certain things.
Mm.
And again, about the strike, please. Why is everything that in Nigeria we have must be on strike before the government pay attention to all this? Let them take care of Nigeria, please. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And we can go on a quick break and come back so we can hear some more from you on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We'll be right back.
I am Simone Cipriani.
And I'm Claire Press.
You are listening to the Ethical Fashion Podcast.
Get ready for another season of the EFI Podcast Series.
Change starts at the grassroots level from the collective efforts of people.
This Friday at 12:15 to 1 p.m. This series will explore topics relevant today more than ever.
The systems that we live in are operating with 100% efficiency.
Through the voice of African creatives and leaders. Hosted by Simone Cipriani and Claire Press, the series explores issues driving the conversation around ethical fashion. The discussions featuring African leaders and creatives range from female power and wildlife conservation to African entrepreneurship. Right here on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
99.3 Nigeria Info, your number one station for talk. Let's talk.
Big Three.
The Big Three.
On Hard Facts. On 99.3 Nigeria Info.
All right, welcome back. I was taking reactions. It's the commencement of Ramadan, the most holy month for Muslims in the country and around the world. The moon's been sighted, as announced by the Sultan of Sokoto, Saad Abubakar. And the reactions have gone to the marketplace to find out just what is happening. And just as predicted, the prices are high. A caller says they went to the market and did not come back with anything. Our correspondent from the newsroom, Uzo Hope, is here earlier on. And give us a state of affairs at the Babs and Marshall market in Shuleri, where also the prices have gone up. And it's a cut-22 situation. The prices are high, and they're also scared that people cannot buy because they're dealing major with perishable items, which is what happens during this period because people are breaking their fast on fruits. And that's where we've seen a hike happen. On WhatsApp, I see comments coming in. And don't forget, we also have the Gypsum strike. They've gone into the second week of the strike action, and no one appears ready to blink yet. The consequences are huge, people complaining. Already, the dispensation of justice is something we talk about very often. The wheels of justice, they say, grinds very slowly but surely. But now it's not only grinding to a halt, it's a matter of conjecture whether it will even happen sooner rather than later. This is Olusoga Ajayi from Odonla in Ikorodu, who says, I don't know why the prices of food items always skyrocket during the month of Ramadan. We just like to lash on every opportunity to cash out. I don't have your name, but send messages and I can get back to the phone lines. Let's see. Hello and good afternoon. Hello and good afternoon.
How are you doing? Great job you're doing.
Thank you very much. What's your name, please, and where are you calling from?
I'm working from Idimu. Let me speak on the judicial Juson or whatever they call themselves.
Juson, yes. Go ahead, please.
You see, the problem with this country is the over-unitarization of virtually all sectors. The judiciary is not supposed to be unitary. Listening to the governor of Rivers State recently, he said that, look, we state governors are the ones funding the judiciary and the police. You are in Lagos. Without the massive funding of the Lagos state government to the RRS in Lagos, there will have been no security in Lagos. So the same thing with judiciary.
Are you saying it's right for the executive to fund the judiciary?
No. Let me explain.
Go ahead.
Look, the problem is this. The Nigerian Labour Congress... They benefit from the over-unitarization of labor in this country. In America, you have Supreme Court even at the state level.
Good.
Appeal Court.
Good.
Then in Nigeria, it's the federal NJC that will appoint judges for states. And that's why all our courts are crowded. So everything is left in the hand of the federal. Whereas the state that are funding their own judiciary. Look at it from this angle. Look at RFI just sacked 4,000 local government workers.
Right.
Because he blamed it on the dwindling economy. And that's why most governors are pressing for the delisting of the unitary wage system from the exclusive legislative list. Because, look, Bayelsa has 8 local government, is the richest. Delta doesn't have much. And when you look to their, they collect a lot of money. Now compare that to Ekiti State and Yobe.
Yeah.
And you want them to be paying the same salary.
Right.
It's not the same amount that you use in Lagos to enter bus or transportation that you spend in the village, in the remote areas where there are civil servants. They will even beg you to live in a flat for free. Right.
But this is a matter of the Constitution that you have.
No, my
you
brother.
You have 3 tiers. You have 3 tiers of government.
I get your point. Look at it. It's a fraudulent Constitution that we are running.
But let's just interpret it based on what you see there, isn't it? If you say you have the executive, you have the legislature at the state level, you have the judiciary.
On paper. No,
in reality,
you got
state high courts, don't you? You have state high courts, don't you?
No, I will look at this from this angle.
Right.
All the judges cannot be appointed without NJC.
Good.
And who is NJC? It's the federal government that appoints everything.
Will it make a difference to you, for example, if the court, the judiciary system in the court will get their monies to run their affairs straight without having the state government interfere in it? Because why I'm asking this,
Look
at the picture.
You.
Okay, go ahead and answer, please.
Let me answer you.
Yeah.
I'm a journalist, okay?
Yeah.
Look at this from this angle.
Mm.
Okay, you are in Kaduna State.
Good.
You got maybe 2 billion naira last month.
Right.
And this month it falls. There was a time motion. God went back to as low as 500 million.
Mm.
No, they couldn't pay salaries.
Mm.
So, once somebody is now sitting in Abuja telling you that you must obey an executive order, when he doesn't even have enough money to pay teachers, and then you have to release on first line charge to the judiciary to be building when you cannot pay your teachers. The thing is, the restructuring is the solution.
Is the judiciary a tier of government?
It is, but
the problem. If the judiciary is a tier of government, then why can't it determine its fate by itself? We're journalists, right? Are you comfortable? Are you comfortable when you see and you hear a governor has donated? Has donated money to judges to buy them cars, to build houses for them, to renovate the courtrooms. And you expect that judge will be fair in the justice system?
No, Agogo.
Yes.
What has polluted our judicial system is the corruption and the corrupt politics that we do. Look, we went to America to copy the presidential system. We were not running presidential system before. We were running parliamentary. But they just went to America, copied the wrong side of presidentialism and brought it here. So the thing is, restructure this polity, let the regions control their own judiciary, and then the money that comes in, there's a House of Assembly. Why should the National Assembly be determining what amount should go to your judiciary? You have your state judiciary, you meet together.
Okay.
Because every member of the House of Assembly belongs to every constituency in the state.
All
so
right.
It is a corrupt system that we rob over. So the idea, look, that's why Edda, for instance, is against the removal of the common wage. Why should you, a level 8 officer in Lagos, any the same salary with somebody in Yobe that can just take a stroll to the office and live in a free house?
All right.
So let's leave it
at that, because I know there are several people who want to join the conversation, Studi, but I do love the point you also tried to make. And it is a battle for the soul of the country's democracy, the battle for the different levels or tiers of government, whether it is, in quote, the so-called powerful governors who are in charge of the local government of it, which is an aberration altogether with what is happening with the democratic system, or is it with the state government, again, executive, in control of what is happening at the judiciary level. Whichever way it goes, it will help define just what exactly we require, one, in the type of governors we want, and then two, with the so-called restructuring we clamor for, which the argument will still come to exactly how you want the restructuring, even if it happens at the state level. Would you have local governments that are independent and autonomous and free? Will you have a judiciary system that's also independent and can help decide their fate and their future for the best in their own understanding rather than by an executive? That's something that I think many of you will have to help us understand better. 99.3 Nigeria Info, and we're streaming this live, so those comments on Facebook, I'm sorry, all along, we have ignored them. I will pick them once they come in. Facebook and YouTube, drop the comments in there together with WhatsApp and Twitter. We'll pick it up, and then we can also speak. If you're very fortunate, you can get with us to talk on the phones. The third story, let me quickly jump on this so that I can. But before I do that, let's speak with David. David is calling in from Ibeche Island. Hello, David. Good afternoon, David.
How are you?
I'm brilliant. And you?
I'm fine.
Great. Please go ahead.
You see, the executive, they've been so much empowered against other arms of government.
Yeah.
You see, every one of them, both the executive, the legislature, and the judiciary, they are all chasing money. Are you with me?
Go ahead, I'm listening to you.
And you now put this money, apart from the power of execution of projects, in the hand of executives. So he uses this money, all these things, to now hold other arms of government. So we have to make, just like the other speaker said, we need restructuring. We have to have another arms of government, knowing the type of politicians we have. That will make our monetary policies independent of other harms. Are you with me now?
Yeah, we're with you. Go ahead.
So that, like maybe the Auditor General, the Accountant General, and the Central Bank, they will be independent. So they will, whatever money the judiciary needs, they will give it to me, to the judiciary. Whatever money the executive needs, they will give it to them. Whatever money the legislature needs, they will give it to them.
Right. But unfortunately, because of the way the system has worked over time, at the state level, at different levels of government, for the state, you have the state and the local government in cahoot, saying that local government, because the local government elected public officials or caretaker committee chairmen, they've been put in there by the state governors. They don't care about what happens to their money. They are there to serve the state. The same with the legislature, where you have state assemblies controlled by the party at the center at the state level, so they're not concerned if their rights are infringed or if the money doesn't come to them. The judiciary, because they are not apolitical, is why we're probably having this discussion today.
If you say you are making somebody independent,
right,
let him have the independence in the real sense of it.
What would you consider the most important ingredient of saying someone is independent or autonomous?
That is, you don't have control of such a person.
What about money?
That's why I said the people that will be handling our money should also be independent.
Right, I agree with you, because if is he who pays the piper dictates the tune. If a governor is giving you money under the executive,
so he's just dictating whatever he likes to other house of government.
Right, right. All right, David, thank you very much for this will drag on for a while, I can imagine, and I hope that, you know, the Attorney General says they will find a way through. There's a committee which is being headed now by the Governor of Sokoto State, Aminu Tambuwa. I'd love to imagine what they're probably going to be discussing and find a way out of this. The Chief Justice of the Federation, Tanko Muhammad, says, I'm not going to get involved in this in asking the governors to kowtow to the demands of Jusun so that they don't come ask me later on that... pay me back for what we did to you. If you get money, close eye and buy which you won't buy. Now, this statement didn't make too much sense till today. I don't have your name, but I guess you've been to the market and you probably can explain to us what. So I can quickly go through this next set, this third story, which is a very interesting story. And we're going to go to the north, travel north for this story. It's about Bauchi State, where the state government says it will repatriate all commercial sex workers operating in the state back to their various states of origin. How they're going to go about this? Well, the permanent commissioner in charge of HISBA in the Sharia Commission, Bauchi State, Aminu Balarabe Isa, said that they're going to do this to help the commercial sex workers have a more decent source of livelihood. It says the repatriation will be done in collaboration with their various state and local government areas. It said that the data will be used to provide economic empowerment for them, adding that seed capital will be provided to enable them to be self-reliant. This is what he said to the ones who have been apprehended so far. We are not here to arrest you, but rather to help and repatriate you to your various local government areas and state of origin, that you can engage yourselves in a meaningful and decent life. Many of the sex workers who had been picked up said that they had gone into this business because they had been, for some of the reasons included maltreatment from their guardians, poverty, and illiteracy. And I was looking for something here. Good. So we don't have any information on the states so far that they have come from and what the states intend to do when they eventually get repatriated to those states of origin. But with Bauchi State, this is what they said they have done. They said that for the indigents of Bauchi State, they will help them get, listen, suitable spouses. HISBA will help in marrying them off and provide them with all the necessary marital beddings, furnitures, and talk about a great incentive and a great plan. Don't tell me how this will work out. Are they going to contract the men who will marry them as a way to help solve the problem? But it's an interesting option. I look forward to hearing from the states where they're going to be repatriated to know what sort of plan they have, whether it's also to follow in the Bauchi State government's agreement arrangement. But you know, I've always known and heard that you deal with primary problems with primary solutions. The reason people will get into certain vices and acts. But let's go on a quick break and then we'll come back and talk some more.
Talk Talk is what we do.
You know, the youth of Nigeria have historically been apathetic towards the electoral process. There's no way for the youth to participate in mainstream fields like oil and gas, banking, and so on. The youth are actively excluded from those fields. And so we just created our own way in tech.
Informed analysis. Reliable. Accurate.
We actually advocate you get your eyes checked at least once a year. When you go for an eye check, the routine things they check, they do for you is to check your visual acuity. Visual acuity is how good you see. A lot of us don't actually know that we don't see so well. But because, like I said earlier, we can count money, we think we're doing very well.
Your number one station for talk, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
Hey, Ali. How are you?
I'm tired, Shadi. My bank is bashing my head with charges.
Have I not shown you how to break free from Sofahead Banking?
Is it that Kuda something?
Kuda, Ali. It's Kuda.
That one, Kuda. Are they even safe?
Hey, where do I start? They don't charge me account or card maintenance fees.
My bank has even charged for a debit card I don't have.
My Kuda card was free and delivered to my house free. I have never paid a naira for owning this card.
What about transfers?
Kuda will give you 25 free transfers to other banks every single month for the rest of your life.
You're right, Sha. Shadi. Is your hotspot on?
Better use your own data.
Shadi.
Kuda Microfinance Bank gives you an account with free transfers, a free card, and zero ridiculous fees. Break free now. Get Kuda on Google Play or the App Store now and open a full bank account in a few minutes. Kuda, the bank of the free.
All right, welcome back. And 99.3 Nigeria Info, 0700-993-993-993. Again, 0700-993-993. Lines are open, and I'm going to engage with you till the top of the hour. We have the business news and then this community and you report. Three very interesting stories. One with huge impact, with the consequences we continue to face following the strike by Judiciary Staff Union of Nigeria, grounded all the courts in the country for a first. We're going in the second week now, and there's still no breakthrough. There's a lot of movement and, action and no movement, like we say, in finding a way out of this. They want to be independent, just as the Constitution has said, and just as the President has signed an executive order last year for the judiciary to have its own, have access to its own money, first line charge, rather than what has happened where the state governors have decided its fate over time. So that's big story number one. The other story is with the Ramadan, and a story we've been having all through today. You had on the sunny side how the Ramadan is affecting the cost of food items in the market. Uzo Hope, our correspondent in the news department, had been to Babs and Imashaon market and told us about the hike in the price of foodstuff and some of the reasons why this has happened. And then the Bauchi State government's ingenious plan to end commercial sex in occupation in Bauchi State by returning the practitioners to their states of origin, and then the ones in their state saying that they would get them husbands and get them things to make the marriage work as a way to help solve a problem, which is more likely etched in the bowels of poverty and illiteracy and the lack of opportunity. But what do I know? Let's hear what you have to say. 0700-993-993-993. Hello and good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
Great. Your name, please, and where are you calling from?
Tayo, calling from Oba.
All right, Tayo, please go ahead.
Are we still talking about the judiciary?
We're still there because they haven't called off the strike.
Okay. The judiciary put themselves where they found themselves right now. Because normally the judicial arm of the government, the judiciary also have been elected by the people. If they are elected by the people and not being appointed, nobody will treat them the way they are being treated right now.
Say that again. Elected by the people.
The elected people
should be the house, the members of the assembly, state or federal, the elected public office holders at the federal or state levels. Who do you mean elected? What do you mean?
They go and contest not under any political party. They contest, they praise the people. They derive their power from the people. And that is how we are going to make an institution to be independent and then to be strong. To be independent and to be strong. What I'm saying is not new.
Maybe you're proposing something new. So, for example, you're saying that the chief judge at the state level or the chief justice of the federation at the federal level should be elected. Is that what you're saying?
At the state level, it should be by election. Every state, every local government and the federal, they should elect what they would call a comptroller who collects all the money that goes to the state or local government and then execute the budget.
But you know the problem that you create at the end of the day is that when you have judicial officers elected through an electoral process, it makes them become a political. They will have to belong to political parties.
No. They are being elected in the United States. I'm not saying something strange.
Yes.
They are being elected in the United States. That is why the judiciary is so strong over there. Because they derive their power from the people, not from any executive arm of the government.
Okay. All right.
Great. So, tell anyone to call and challenge me that and debunk it that
I assure you 100% they're going to call and challenge you on this thing. But the system there is different from here, right?
What system is different? Is it not the same presidential system that we are practicing here?
So they have strong institutions and systems, which mean that if you have anyone get into office because he belongs to a political party or the other or not, national interest will come in first.
Look. Remember Donald Trump called even Secretary of State in Georgia. He cannot, because everybody is over there. I left there. They are watching him.
You see now, because the system has been able to provide safeguards where you don't have anyone abuse his office based on partisanship. Right?
Sir, if anybody is coming out to be a judge, okay? If you are coming out to be a judge in Nigeria, the MBA, give us three. Let the MBA scrutinize them and make sure they don't belong to any political party. It's as simple as that.
Okay, so.
And then we have a strong judiciary.
All right.
Then I can, if NEPA is not doing what I like, I can walk into that office. You know, were you not in this country when Chief Justice Aloma said Nigerian judges don't give three judgments in a year? Because they are being appointed. If they are being elected, you will see how justice will be fast.
All right. Let's move on, because I know we'll stay on this and this argument will go on. Many of the factors why justice dispensation in the country is really slow. It's a myriad of issues. We could talk about the systemic failure, judges writing in longhand, courts not equipped to work in the way, not enough courtroom, not enough judges. We could go on and on. But thank you very much for your interesting intervention. But let's hear what others have to say. Hello and good afternoon.
Hello.
Great. Your name, please, and where are you calling from?
Kelly from Ajah.
Say that again, Charlie.
Kelly.
Telly. How do you spell that? T-E-L-E.
K-E-L-L-Y.
Kelly. Oh, sorry about that. I thought I heard Telly. I said I never heard anyone out there, whether your folks love televisions, and they say, let's shorten the name to Telly. All right, Kelly, great to have you. Which of the stories do you want to
react
to?
Yeah, let's take it about you. He's quite funny. Taking them from prostitution and putting them back into slavery, some mismatched marriages. It has been going on in Kano for a long time. I stayed in the north for a while.
And was it successful?
They gathered them in the stadium, about 3,000-4,000 women, and matchmake them. And I tell you, 50% of them will come back again the next year for another matchmake because the marriage.
I would love to be in one of those ceremonies.
The governor is the state that organizes it. It's a big event.
You know, yeah, but a 50% failure rate means there's something absolutely wrong with the system not working.
Just the, it all boils down to, I will not like them creating avenue to raise population, because these women just keep having children in different places and they cannot account for it. You know, it's a messed up system, really. I don't think it's something anyone should be thinking of doing.
Right, right. All right. Thank you very much, Kelly. And I'm sure the other states where you have the ladies being returned, maybe they will have some more ingenious plan on what to do in dealing with this. 0700-993-993-993. Let me get quickly on WhatsApp and see. I have several comments coming in straight away. Bjorden says, why asking how to go about marrying off? They have the grace to marry men and use them as decorations. Bauchi State government planning to repatriate commercial sex workers from Bauchi State. They should remember any state in the South that is not comfortable with Okada riding, open grazing, kidnapping will also toe the line of Bauchi State. Bauchi should be careful. Comrade Silas Akban in Magodo. This one is Chidiogo from Ikorodu. He says, I just left Adeniji Dosumu Ebuteru Market, which is a major market for short, intermediate, non-consumable goods. My estimate is that price of goods at the table of the dealer and importers have increased by at least 5% within the last 7 days. It is demoralizing and reduces the options of the retailer and the final consumers. We need a better and wholesome economic plan. And I say yes, sir, to you. This knee-jerk approach in dealing with food items and hasn't worked, and it's not good for even short-term planning. How much more long-term? Long-term planning, rather. Even not to talk of short-term planning. Ororo from Ayobo says, I heard you say police don't detain over 48 hours without being trailed. No, I didn't say so. I said that Frank Mba had said that the law says don't detain beyond 48 hours, and that because of the courts that have been shot, they should make sure they don't have to make unnecessary arrests, is what the false PR of Frank Mba was quoting the IG to have said, reading the Riot Act to the police hierarchy across the states. My brother, go to the station and find out yourself, just as bail is free on paper, but you go and find out. You heard the IG said he will see to you that unnecessary arrests won't be made. They've always been aware with this godforsaken arrest and extortion bar. Well, I agree with you. That's why you have about 48,000 out of 64,000 awaiting trial. Those numbers don't show that unwarranted arrests aren't still happening. Opekende from Ijegun writes, this judicial and politicians are the same. Same politicians nominated all this judiciary to serve their purposes. It's the same NBA that will continue voting for the same politicians who determine judges' career. I urge all Nigerians to prepare for the next election. So either we all move into the ruling party and make the charge. Or let's not forget, the NBA is just an association. They have almost no say, you know, in what happens in the selection of judges. The NJC, the body of judges, responsible for that. Hello and good afternoon. You are last caller here. Hello and good afternoon.
Hello.
Great. What's your name, please, and where are you calling from?
Switcher from Korodu, Agogo, car dealer.
Car dealer, car.